Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
If you come to the Case household, and some of you have been there, our backyard is fenced in. So our backyard is behind a fence. It's surrounded by shrubs. It's surrounded by trees. We've got a couple of big privacy fences. Jason, I think you might have a picture of my backyard up there. It's fenced in. We've got a couple of different access ways. On a nice sunny day, there's a lot of shade. Got lots of flowers, and it's just almost like our own little private oasis, our own little private garden in Marysville, except for the clucking of the neighbor's chickens. So, you know, you'll be out there and it'll be all peaceful and cock-a-doodle-doo. So if we're in our house and we're looking out our back window and we see somebody roaming around in our backyard, that's a big deal. Because it's not normal. Occasionally, every once in a while, we'll be sitting in our house and in our family room. It's got this big bay window that looks out on my backyard. And we'll see, the neighbor kids in the yard. And typically what's happened, they'll be playing ball or frisbee or something like that. And it will fly over the fence and they'll come over and get it. I actually took this picture on the screen yesterday morning. This is in my yard. This is the neighbor kids. Their stuff's flying over my yard all the time. And they'll come over and get it. They know they're not supposed to be there. They think I'm the crazy old man that says, "Get off my lawn!" But we love to see them over there. We love our neighbors. We don't have a problem with them being in our backyard. And then there's the neighbor dog. So our neighbors who have the chickens, they all also have this dog. And I don't know how this dog does it because there is no access into our backyard. But every once in a while, that dog is like, it's like escape from Alcatraz, where he like escapes from their backyard into my backyard. And I'm not sure how he does it, but he'll slip through and he'll gallivant through our yard like he just owns it. You know, he'll just travel through there. He knows he's misbehaving. He knows he's not supposed to be there. If I walk out on the porch, he'll just look at me and he'll run back through wherever he went to get there, get back in his yard. So it's unusual. It's unusual to see anyone in our backyard. And to get into our backyard, you have to go through a gate. You have to go through a gate. It would be difficult to climb the privacy fences because they're so tall. It would just be really hard to get over those privacy fences. It would be hard to climb the shrubs that surround our yard because I can guarantee you, if you climb those shrubs, you're going to wake up the next morning with poison oak or poison ivy or something yucky on your skin. So, great security barrier there. So, access to the backyard through the gate is really critical. If you want to get to our backyard, you have to go through a gate. And so this week we're going to talk about how Jesus reveals himself as the gate to his disciples. He says, "I am the gate." We're going to talk about what that means to each and every one of us as followers of Jesus. If Jesus is the gate, how does that impact me as a follower of Jesus? And that's what we're studying this summer. We're studying how being a follower of Jesus impacts our personal identity. A few weeks ago, we focused on the reality that when we decide to follow Jesus, we embrace the words of John the Baptist. "He must become greater, I must become less." That's part of what it means to become a disciple of Christ. Jesus is becoming a greater force in our lives, and we are becoming less. And that isn't a bad thing. That really kind of sounds bad, doesn't it? He must become greater, I must become less. But that's not a bad thing, because when we allow Christ to influence our personal identity, we realize that we start becoming the person we were intended to be in the first place. Because sin in our lives corrupts our personal identity. The sin that we're born into, it corrupts our personal identity. And we become people with warped senses of who we are when we're not living in Jesus Christ. Our view of ourselves is warped and deformed and confused. But God, who identified himself to Moses as the great I am, when Moses said, "Who are you? What's your name?" He said, "I am." God, the great I am, he rescues us from all of this problem of sin. He sends Jesus to save us. He sends Jesus to transform us into new creations. And last week we talked about Jesus revealing himself as the light of the world. Remember that? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we landed on the reality that since Jesus says, I am the light of the world, that means we, his followers, are enlightened as to what's really going on. Our eyes are opened up as to our need and what God wants to do for us through Jesus Christ. Our minds are opened up. Because Jesus is the light of the world, we become aware of our shortcomings and our need to be rescued and to be transformed. So this week, that was John chapter 9. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. This week, we're moving on to John chapter 10. And in this episode, he's still in the temple talking to the people, and the temple leaders are still there. As I look at what's going on in John chapter 10, I can still picture the blind man who had just been healed is still there listening to, as Jesus continues to talk. Because when Jesus talked, people listen. He's kind of like E.F. Hutton. Remember those commercials? When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When Jesus talked, people listened. He was mesmerizing because of the wisdom and the authority through which he was speaking. And so it's the continuation of this story we started last week where the blind man was healed and came to know Jesus. And as Jesus is talking to them, he says, I'm the gate. Not only am I the light of the world, I am the gate. Okay? Well, that sounds weird. So let's pick it up in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10 this morning is where we're going to focus. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have life to its fullness. I am the gates. Gates come in many shapes and sizes. Gates come in many different forms. They can be made of different materials. You can have wood gates. You can have gates that are made of metal. You can have gates that are made of fiberglass. I have a couple of gates in my backyard that are made of fiberglass and plastic. They come in all different forms. My mom and dad's backyard, they have chain link fence around their backyard. How many of you have a chain link fence? How many of you have a chain link gate? Yeah, everybody who's got a chain link fence probably has a chain link gate to go with that fence. They may look different. They come in different forms. They all look different, but they all serve the same function. Right? The gate serves the same function, and that function is to limit or grant access to what's on the other side of the gate. That's what gates are for. They limit access. So when I go to work, they have security gates up, and you can't get through the security gate unless you have your ID card. We all know what that's like, and we talked a couple weeks ago about forgetting your ID card and having to walk the walk of shame to go get into the facility to do your job. When you go to the airport, you can't just walk in to the airport. We were watching a show yesterday. We're watching a series on Netflix about the 70s. And they're talking about airport security back in the 70s. When airline travel was just becoming a big deal, you could walk straight into the airport, walk through the airport, walk through no security whatsoever and jump on a plane. And nobody would check your ID and nobody would even check your bag back in the 70s. That was great, right? And these days, you're like, you got to go 3 hours ahead of time so that you can stand in line with a kabillion of your closest friends and neighbors that you don't know to wait to get through the gate, the security gate. So then you can walk to the boarding gate and spend more time with people you're going to get really close and personal with. And then, once you get to that gate, you have to show them a ticket so you can get through that gate to go and get on your plane and get in your seat. We were over at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base a couple of weeks ago. We were celebrating our anniversary, and we went over to the prairie by the base where the Wright brothers actually flew their first prototype plane and did all their experiments. If you haven't been over there, it's awesome. You should go over and see it. It's like history right in our own backyard. I've lived here all my life, and I've never been there before. It was very cool. But this prairie is right in the middle of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And on all sides, there are these big fences. And if you want to get into the working area of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, you have to drive to the gate. You have to show proper ID before the military police will let you get through and get into the base in certain parts of it. You have to, there's limited access. Gates provide access. That's what gates are all about. So if Jesus is the gate, what does that mean for you and me as followers of Jesus? What are the implications? I have three really distinct thoughts for you this morning in just the next couple of moments that I want to cover to talk about what it means if Jesus is the gate. First of all, if Jesus is the gate, that means that Jesus provides access to God. Jesus provides access to God. If Jesus is the gate, that means He and He alone provides access to our Father in heaven. It is only, think about this, it is only through Jesus that we can be saved. It is only through Jesus that we can be saved. There are streams of thought that pervade our pluralistic society today that say that all these different religions, they're just all paths, all different paths to the same God. And I think that that is a mistruth. That is not a fact. All these religions do not lead to God. The scripture tells us that Jesus is the gate. It is through Jesus alone that we find access to God. I think all these other religions desire to access God. They desire to access the Creator, but they don't have the right credentials to get through the gate. It is only through Jesus that we have direct access to God. After 9/11, we heard a lot of this, all religions lead to God. And I just think that we have to be careful as Christians. And it's not something where we're discounting other faiths. We're not going to disrespect other faiths. But our Bible, our scriptures tell us it is only through Jesus that we have access to God. These other religions may be trying, but it's only through Jesus that we have access to God. Jesus says He and He alone is the gate. He's the only way into the presence of God. The gate, He says, is for the sheep. The gate is for the sheep. It isn't for the thieves. It isn't for other predators. It's for the sheep. The gate, access to God, think about this, is for all people. So when we say that you can only get to God through Jesus, we're not being exclusive. Because Jesus came for everybody to access God. Jesus is available for everyone to access God. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whoever believes in Him, regardless of what corner of the world you came from, regardless of your gender, regardless of your socioeconomic status, regardless of your current religion, whoever comes to Jesus and believes in Jesus as the Son of God has access to God and access to eternal life. Jesus is the gate. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. You can't buy this on Amazon. You can't get it at a mosque. You can't. I'm not discounting those faiths, but the Bible tells us that Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the access point for salvation. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The gate is for sheep, for followers of Jesus, for anyone who accepts Jesus as Savior, for anyone to turn from their selfish ways and to commit to live a life of love and humility and respect for other people. How can you argue with that? How can you argue with love and respect and humility? You know, there are no laws against any of those things. As a matter of fact, the scripture says against such things, there are no laws. Jesus provides access to God. Jesus alone provides access to God for all humanity. No discrimination whatsoever. Takes all comers. That's the beauty of the Christian religion. It does not discount the backgrounds or cultures of others, but it is only through Jesus that we can be saved. Amen? Second, so Jesus provides He provides access to God. Secondly, through Jesus, we are able to approach God directly. Jesus takes out the middleman. Jesus takes out the middleman. We don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor to access God. Pastor, will you pray for me? I'll be happy to pray for you, but I want you to pray for yourself too. I've said this to you before. Jesus creates the ability for all of his followers to have direct access to God. He provides 24/7, 365 access to God. You don't have to go for a cheaper rate on the weekend to call long distance. Remember those days when Pastor Vicky and I were dating? Saturday night, Sunday night, we would spend the whole evening on the phone because it was only 10 cents a minute. But now we've got unlimited, you know, cell phone usage, and that's a thing of the past. But Jesus provides 24/7, 365 access to God, and it's free. It's free. Before Jesus, the gateway to God was through the temple, through the Jewish temple. Access was restricted. Only a certain group of people could have access to God. You had to be Jewish, and you had to be a priest. You had to be a member of the clergy before Jesus. Only the priests were able to access God directly on behalf of everybody else, on behalf of the masses. People had no direct access to God. They had no direct access to the scriptures. You've got Bibles in your hands this morning. We have Bibles on our iPads. We have Bibles on our phones. We have so much access to the Word of God. And back before Jesus, people didn't have access to the Word. They depended on the priest to read from the scroll for them so that they could hear the Word of God. But Jesus comes, and Jesus is a progressive revolutionary. You know, I think today in our society, we like to dress Jesus as a conservative. You know, he would be a conservative Republican if he came today. If Jesus came today, he would be a liberal progressive. Because that's what he was back then. He was a change agent. He was a revolutionary. And Jesus comes and he turns upside down this whole notion of accessing God. Jesus, it is through Jesus the gate that access to God is democratized. Everybody has access to God through Jesus Christ. That is an amazing concept if you think about it. Flipped the whole system on its head. Jesus democratizes access to God. And as the gate, Jesus provides access to God for all who believe in him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. This whole notion of Jesus providing direct access to God, it brings one of my favorite passages in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 to life. Because no longer do I have to go to a priest or a pastor and say, will you pray for me? Will you offer up this sacrifice? Or will you read this scripture or this blessing on me? It says, no, let us then, let us, we who profess Jesus as our Savior, let us approach the throne of grace. Let us approach God, the throne of grace, with confidence. Not with fear and trepidation, but let me approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that I'm not going to be punished for approaching God directly. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friend, if you're in trouble, if you need help, if you need rescued, you do not have to go to a church or a temple and ask a priest or a pastor to help you or pray for you. You can go directly to God and say, God, help me.
Amen.
24/7, 365. He's always open. There's not some operator manning the line. You don't have to dial 2 for English. He's available for us. Jesus says, I am the gate. He opens up access for everyone, all of humanity, to his Father, who is the great I am. So this direct access to God, we got to think about this. I'm taking you a little deeper now. You with me still? Are you engaged? Are you still here? Because we've established that Jesus is the gate. He provides direct access and we can go directly to God. But that has implications for us as followers of Jesus. Implications mean that truth means I have to change the way I'm living my life. That truth means if it's true and I'm making it mine, it's going to have an impact on me as an individual, as a person. It's going to have an impact on my identity. So, you with me? You still tracking? And we're going to dive in a little deeper. It's like we started in the kiddie end of the pool and we're going to kind of walk into the 4-foot section now, okay? Since Jesus is the gate, what does that mean for me? Since Jesus is the gate, that means I, as his follower, am always in the presence of my heavenly Father. I'm going to let that sink in for just a second. Since Jesus is the gate, since he provides access to God and I can go directly to God, since he is the gate, I am always, when I'm awake, when I'm asleep, when I'm aware, when I ignore him, I'm always with every step, with every breath that I take, I'm always in the presence of my Heavenly Father because Jesus is the gate. When we worship in the name of Jesus, we are in God's presence. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are speaking directly to God. When we proclaim ourselves as followers of Jesus, we live our lives, every moment of our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, the boring, the exciting, the joyful, the tragic, every moment of our lives, we live in Jesus Christ. Every single moment of every day. And when Jesus is the gate, the implication for us is our bodies, no longer do we have to go to a temple to worship. Our bodies, when we believe in Jesus, when we follow him, and since he gives us direct access, our bodies become the temple. Our bodies become the temple where God resides. The name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, isn't just about a baby being born in a manger. Emmanuel, God is with us, is about how when we follow Jesus and we accept him as our Savior in our lives, Emmanuel, God is with us every single moment of every single day. Our bodies become temples. Paul talks to the Corinthian church about this, and I get excited when you start seeing confirmation of this in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple? Is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, if you're a follower of Jesus, whom you have received from God, do you not know? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. You know, we come into church and we had kids in here all week and we consider the sanctuary a sacred place. And what I found at Maplewood is it's even a little edgy if you bring a cup of water in the sanctuary. And so the kids don't run in the sanctuary. You know, you don't bring food into the sanctuary. We make this place sacred and holy. And we when you are within these four walls, there are things you do and things you don't do because it's sacrilegious if you do them. You know what I'm talking about? Talking about the culture of the church, and those are rules we set up. Well, guess what? I'm going to flip it on its head. When you are a follower of Jesus, that same sacredness, that same the things you do, the things you don't, they walk out of here with you because you become these four walls. You become the temple of the living God. When you are a follower of Jesus, he is the gate. And since he is the gate, he is with you all the time. And so your life, if you want to come in and complain about the kids running in the church, let's make sure we're examining our own lives and make sure we don't have worse things happening in our own personal lives that would defile the temple of God, which we carry around with us all the time when we call ourselves followers of Jesus. Amen. Since Jesus is the gate, we no longer go to the temple to worship. We come here to gather together, and that serves its purpose. But God lives in us when we are followers of Jesus, because Jesus is the gate. God lives in us and is always with us. We carry the gate around with us. When we are in Jesus Christ, when we are followers of Jesus, we carry the gate around with us. We don't go to a place. The temple comes with us. You know, I was trying to think of a picture of that gate in my backyard that I showed you earlier. Could you imagine it if I had to carry that big gate with me everywhere I went? You know, and then I thought, well, you know, people carry necklaces of the cross. You know, they'll wear necklaces of the cross. I was like, well, maybe a great necklace to carry around would be a necklace with a little gate on it. Because I could carry that gate close to my heart because it's a reminder that I am always with Jesus. Jesus was always with me. And wherever I go, the gate goes. So I'm not going to the temple anymore as a follower of Jesus. I'm taking it with me wherever I go. So since Jesus is the gate and since I'm always in the presence of God, my Heavenly Father, that has really practical implications. So we started in the kiddie pool. We've moved into the 4-foot section. And now we're going to go where your tippy toes can't touch the bottom of the pool, okay? We're going to have to tread a little water here. Y'all know what that's like. It's summertime. Wouldn't it be nice to be at the pool right now? I'm for that. I'm down with that. So if Jesus is the gate and I'm always in the presence of God and I'm carrying his presence around with me all the time, what are the practical implications for my behavior? Because let's get real. What are the practical implications for my personal identity as a follower of Jesus? Remember how a couple weeks ago we talked about how the people you hang out with influence your behavior? And I told you the story about my son. He had the accident when he came home from school. We tend to be influenced. Our behavior tends to be influenced. Our identities are influenced by the people we hang out with. I really enjoy hanging out with you all. Had a blast at VBS this week. We rub off on each other. We influence how each other behaves. When we are joyful and are experiencing great moments of ministry together, boy, that brings life out in all of us. But if we're over on the side grumbling about blah, 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 that affects everybody too. We influence one another's behavior. Everything I do, if Jesus is the gate and God is with me all the time, everything I do in my life, if I'm a follower of Jesus, God is right there with me in Christ. When I face challenges in life, God is with me. When I face victory in life, God is with me. When I face temptation in life, that temptation is just kind of nagging at me and I'm tempted to go dive into my old way of life, God's right there with us. He's even there with us when we're being tempted. Does that creep you out just a little bit? When I fall down and fail, when I actually am tempted and fall down and stumble into sin, guess who's got a front row seat? God's there. We can pretend, and we like to pretend, right? We like to pretend that nobody else knows that. And we're like, oh, you know, I got to cover that up. Don't fool yourself. God's right there with you. It's like he's got a cell phone recording the whole thing, the whole time, every single bit of it. So when we're in victory, he's there with us. When we're tempted, he's with me. When I fall down and fail, God's with me. When I seek forgiveness, isn't it beautiful that God is right there with this outstretched hand? And he's like, get up. I love you. You crazy kid. Just get up. Takes us by the hand. He pulls us up. He's right there with us in everything we do. Since Jesus is the gate and I'm always with the Father, he's always in my presence. I'm always in his presence. It should impact how we live. It should impact how we live, regardless of age, social status, employment, marital status. It should always impact how we live. The choices I make on a daily basis. Would God approve? He's right there with you. Does he approve? The attitudes I have. Would God approve of that attitude? The words that I speak, that I choose to speak. Maybe somebody's really irritating me. Not that that ever happens to me. The words that I use, would God approve? The attitude of my heart, the actions that I take. God's right there with me. He's right there with me. Would he approve? Jesus says, I am the gate. He alone provides access to God. Since Jesus is the gate, it should impact how I live. In public, and when nobody else is around. You see, when we become followers of Jesus, he transforms our identity. He's transforming our identity. We'll know Jesus is impacting our identity. We'll know that Jesus is impacting our identity as he starts impacting our moral character. When he starts impacting the moral choices that we make. Before Jesus, maybe we would have made some other choices morally. But now that I'm in Jesus and I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm going to make different moral choices. Right, wrong. What the Bible says is right, what the Bible says is wrong. What Jesus says is right, what Jesus says is wrong. It also impacts our personal integrity. Jesus is going to start impacting our moral character and our personal integrity. You can't listen up now. I don't want you to miss this because this is truth. You can't be a person of integrity if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, but then continue living in your old ways. That's incongruent. That doesn't work. You're going to feel dissonance. You're going to feel guilt. You're going to feel regret, remorse, confusion, frustration. If you're trying to follow Jesus, but still living in your old ways. He's going to be impacting our... And the reason we feel that guilt, that remorse, that regret, that frustration, that's because that's the way God wired us, and He's trying to get us to change our character, to intentionally choose to do right, and to be a person of integrity when nobody's watching. Those are all tools He uses to help guide us in the right direction. Being a person of integrity is doing the right thing even when nobody else is watching. Even when nobody else is looking. That is guilt-free living. That is true freedom. That is true life. When we are making right choices and being the person who God wants us to be when nobody else is looking. That's freedom. Freedom of guilt, shame, condemnation. That's where God is trying to change our character and trying to impact our lives. So in closing this morning, we're going to wrap it up here because I know you're all getting hungry. One of my favorite things to do is to watch out in my backyard. It's just, I get a kick out of this, of being the mean old man neighbor, get off my lawn, like I was telling you earlier, which I'm really not. But one of my favorite things to do is to watch our neighbor kids actually come over into the yard, like I was talking about earlier, and get their ball or their frisbee or whatever flew over the fence. I get a kick out of it. I'll be sitting on the porch. I do a lot of porch sitting in the summertime. Or I'll have my garage open. I love to tinker in my garage. And I'm not really good at doing anything, but I like to tinker out there, Randy. It's just the way it is. But I'll be standing out there, and I'll see one of those kids sneak into the yard because the balls come over the fence, and they'll kind of come through, and they don't see me. You know? They don't see me. Because I'm stealthy. They don't see me. They'll sneak in and they'll be there picking their ball up. And I'll say, hi. And they'll jump up and you can see their eyes get really wide and their heart starts racing. And they're like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, you know, I just said hi. It's not like I said, what are you doing? But they get all startled and they grab whatever they came over to get. And they have that reaction because I startled them because they didn't realize I was there in their presence while they were getting whatever they were getting. They didn't realize I was standing there. They were living life. They were living life not realizing they were acting in my presence. And as soon as they realized that I was there, the startle reflex goes off and they act like they've done something wrong. So as followers of Jesus, know that He is the gate. He says, I am the gate. You are always in His presence. Live like it. If Jesus is the gate, it should have an impact on how we live our lives every day. The words we speak, the decisions we make, the actions we take. Live like it. Make right choices when no one else is around. One of the best things you can do for your own spiritual growth is to identify those things that tempt you, because we all have temptations. Even if you're saved and you're in this walk of holiness with the Lord, you are human, you're going to be tempted. Temptation doesn't go away after you commit your life to Jesus. Amen? Amen. You know, identify your weak link. Identify those temptations and develop strategies so that when nobody else is around, when you're at your weakest, you're setting yourself up for success to choose right and not to choose to act on that temptation. Every time we do that, we build our character just a little bit. It's like taking a little Lego block and you just kind of build it one little block at a time. Every decision we make as if Jesus is in our presence helps build our character, our integrity, and it changes our identity in Christ. Make right choices even when no one else is around. Resist the temptation to go back to living in the old ways. Build accountability in your life for that too. Guess what? You don't have to do it on your own. We can find somebody we can confide in and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this thing. Please check in with me every once in a while. Ask me how I'm doing because I don't want to live that way anymore. I need a power outside of myself to help me move into God's grace, into God's mercy, to put another block on the Legos so that I can become the person God wants me to be. Resist temptation. Grow in moral character. Grow in integrity. Be transformed. Be free as people who call themselves followers of Jesus. Jesus is the gate. He provides access to God. We're always in God's presence. Live like it.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.